Good morning. I'm Nancy Williams, here for the Zesty Garden and Petals and Prose. And I just love to read to you. That's why I hang out here. It's just a privilege to do that. And today I want to share from one of my favorite gardening books. It's kind of a gardening and also memoir book called Gardening at the Dragon's Gate by Wendy Johnson. Wendy is a friend of mine and a writer. And this is a wonderful book of, 450 pages that she actually wrote in longhand. And it took her about 10 years to do it while she was at the Green Gulch Farm Zen Center in Marin County, California. She now lives there with her family at nearby Muir Beach. And she's a Buddhist meditation teacher. So she's a writer and a meditator and a marvelous, marvelous garden. And a lot of this book integrates Zen philosophy with gardening philosophy, and it works quite well. So I thought I would just read you a little bit of background about the garden and what she's doing with it, and spring, of course. She talks a little bit here about how Zen practice originates, and she says, it comes out of everyday life. Since the autumn day in 1975 when Peter and I walked into Green Gulch Valley, my practice has ripened in both garden and meditation hall. Both the meditator and the gardener in me are encouraged by the inscription on the Green Dragon Zen Temple bell and by the silence and sound of this old bell. The inscription is a lovely poem by Richard Baker. It's short. I'll read it for you. It says, awakened by this Japanese bell, the sky-headed, sea-tailed Green Gulch Dragon stirs the fine mists and rains of right Dharma for East and West, farming and greeting guests. The pre-voice voice of this old bell is not hindered by the wind. I confess, she says, that on some mornings during Zazen, I am too tired from the previous day's pruning of the tangled thicket of Gallica roses to even hear the bell. It takes all my concentration just to stay upright, poised on the brink of sleep. But on other mornings when the garden has been kinder to me, the sound of the bell booms through to me during Zazen. Sitting drops a notch then, and tiny vanguard roots spread out from the base of my sitting bones into the dark ground. The Zendo Meditation Hall at Green Gulch Farm is the heart of the place, an old hay barn transformed to hold about 200 people. When we first came to Green Gulch, there were creaky trapdoors in the mud-encrusted floor of the ground-level hayloft. Hay had been thrown down through these chutes to the cattle, stanchioned below in the lower barn. Our first job was to scrape this mud off the hayloft floor and create a place to sit in meditation. Those assigned to this task worked for days. Often I thought of Heracles laboring in the Augean stables. Next, we cleared old harness and rusty hand plows, broken window frames, and hoops of baling wire out of the barn that adjoined the hayloft. We uncovered a catacomb of old box stalls underneath the piles of equipment. So we built up the walls of those horse stalls and made primitive rooms for student housing. I lived in one of those rooms with Peter when we first came to Green Gulch. The walls were so thin we could hear Jerome next door turning the pages of his book at night after Zazen. There were almost 70 of us living at Green Gulch in those days. There weren't enough rooms, so the newly arrived men slept in the Zendo at night. We built raised platforms, or tons, for Zazen and overflow sleeping, and one year we dried our squash and pumpkin harvest under those sturdy platforms. If there was to be enlightenment in the Green Gulch Zendo, the pumpkins would have their share of it too. Uchima Roshi, the head teacher at a monastery in Japan, wrote that in Zazen, we practice to save all beings. We sit like individual pumpkins in a vast field, aglow with our vow. Yet we are connected by a common vine that runs between us, a vine that sustains our shared life even when we forget our connections to one another. Underneath our sitting platform in the Green Gulch Zendo, as the field squash cured and ripened, I heard Roshi encourage us, pumpkins, sit Zazen. And sit Zazen we did. We practiced meditation together every day from 4 a.m. until 6 a.m. and then again at 5:15 p.m. just before dinner, and at the close of the day from 7:30 until 9. Everyone followed the same schedule in those days. Most of us were in our early 20s. We were building Green Gulch Farm to fit our dream. We expanded the family kitchen in the old Wheelwright Ranch, added to the dining room to seat a large population of 70 residents, and built a small guest facility and conference center. At the same time, we were cultivating the heavy bottomland soil of the gulch and establishing the farm and the garden. We were quite idealistic and determined to grow our own food. We also didn't know much, especially about the rugged climate of the North Pacific coast. Our first year, we tried growing scores of crops, fencing off a quarter acre and planting like mad. We sowed lettuce and paste tomatoes, pickling cucumbers and wild radishes. We dibbled in lines of snow peas and rows of dry beans, and even planted some hills of peanuts. And then we hunkered down to watch what happened. The plants grew furiously, especially with their heavy complement of aged cow manure gathered from the lower barn. A silent communal work period was added to our schedule right after morning zazen, before breakfast. Lou Hartman, a senior Zen priest and a great cook, would bake us fresh zucchini bread and serve it hot from the oven to tide us over on frosty mornings as we went down to work in the fields. Zen practice honors work. A day of no work is a day of no eating, is an old Zen proverb. We worked hard in those first years to establish the farm and to learn the lay of the land, teachers and students working together. Danan Roshi visited us periodically from his meditation center in Minneapolis and did communal work in his meditation robes, tying up his voluminous Tang Dynasty sleeves and scrubbing out pigweed with a rusty hula hoe. In the renegade collection of old junk that filled the outer barn, we discovered a rickety cart that was spiffed up and hauled out to Tam Junction, the crossroads where the Green Gulch Coast Road meets the main road. From the back of this cart, Darlene sold fresh vegetables and flowers and homemade bread to our neighbors and visitors. Even though we were exhausted, life was good. But as we developed our practice and presence at Green Gulch, trouble cropped up in paradise. Babies began to be born, guests began to visit and want to practice with us. Farming began to take on a life of its own. We now kept chickens and a dairy cow named Daisy. Thorny issues pricked at the smooth, taut skin of our practice. Who was going to milk Daisy at 5 a.m. during zazen? What did we do with our old chickens after we had enjoyed their eggs for 4 or 5 seasons? And were we really meant to leave our sleeping infants at home at 4 a.m. and all sit zazen together in the zendo? A fellow Zen resident summed up these dilemmas by asking a simple question. How do grown-ups practice Zen? What I have appreciated most about Zen practice is that it welcomes a core question like this one, meeting the world squarely without smoothing over prickly concerns that threaten the calm surface. Grown-ups practice Zen by sending our feeder roots deep into the bedrock of modern culture, fierce in the commitment to face the real issues and dangers of our times, remembering that every excellent endeavor turns from within toward the world, as Goethe wrote. At Green Gulch Farm, we have been lucky. Our covenant that allows us to be landholders within the Golden Gate National Recreation Area requires that we turn toward the world. If from prolonged meditation we get too misty-eyed about the ultimate reality of the moon shining in a single dewdrop, hikers passing through our preserve bring us back to earth by asking for directions to the nearest bathroom. And when the mad frenzy of harvesting more than 100 boxes of fresh organic produce for the market threatens the rhythm of daily life and obscures the dire situation of the world, the same guests passing through our fields restore us to our true work. "I can't tell you how much it means to me," they often say as we crouch exhausted over our huge market crop of Romanian speckled lettuce, "that this beautiful food is grown here at Green Gulch by people who meditate every day." Over the coming years, we have crucial work to do together. Our world faces unprecedented ecological destruction and soil disintegration that includes a massive dying off of species, degradation of air, land, and water purity, and a loss of soil health and biological diversity. Issues all bound together by the stark reality of global climate change. We have no choice but to work together. This means getting into the traces with unlikely partners and pulling to reverse the tide of human greed and ignorance. The human race is 5 million years old, one of my close Dharma teachers reminds me, and it is time to act our age and fulfill our inheritance as human beings by responding to the cries of a world in trouble. I have great faith and confidence in our ability to wake up, to pierce the veil of drowsy denial, and to draw on the strength of our collective human thicket of intertwined roots. Despair is lifted by facing the truth of our situation and sustaining the gaze as we turn toward the world. Inscribed on the face of the wooden sounding block that calls us to meditation every day are these simple words of reminder. Listen, everyone. Great is the matter of life and death. Awake, each one. Don't waste time. That was a reading by Wendy Johnson from Gardening at the Dragon's Gate. Here is that recipe for Lou's zucchini bread. 3 eggs, 1 cup of oil, 1.5 cups of sugar, 3 cups of grated zucchini, 1 tablespoon of vanilla, 3 cups of sifted flour, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1 tablespoon of cinnamon, and 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder. Beat the eggs until they're light and foamy. Add the oil, sugar, zucchini, and vanilla. Mix lightly but well. Sift together flour, salt, baking soda, cinnamon, and baking powder. Add to the egg mixture and mix until blended. The batter will be stiff. The liquid in the zucchini comes out in the baking. Divide the batter into 2 greased loaf pans, 9 by 5 inches, and bake at 325 degrees Fahrenheit for about an hour. Cool on a wire rack. Cut into generous slabs and serve while still warm. It helps to eat zucchini bread on foggy, cool mornings, dreaming of the garden that is stirring to life just beyond the edge of your appetite. You can get this recipe on the website at upr.org under the Zesty Garden tab. I'm Nancy Williams for the Zesty Garden. I'll see you next time.